Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, as I want to continue with part, I believe it's 3, part 3 of the story of the Gentile, the story of the Gentile general, part 3. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 592, since January the 20th, 2017, Day 959, since January the 1st, 2016, Matthew chapter 8, verse, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him." And allow me to say here that this Gentile general and the disobedient leper, they teach us something that we all ought to apply to our lives when we need something and when we want something. I have used this principle without knowing that they had already taught it. And that is, when you need something, for example, if you need some money and you have a friend or you have a family member, you have an Ace Boone Coon, as we call them in the hood. I mean, your running buddy. You know, you go to games with this friend, you talk about Dak Prescott losing the game to the Titans at the Dallas Stadium. I mean, and you just talk and you talk and you know, and so you say, this is your Ace Boone Coon, this is your buddy, this is your fellowship buddy. You can tell him anything, and he can tell you anything, and you know. And most of the time, neither one of you need anything. You don't want to ever ask this friend for any money or any help, any serious help. But if you do, don't try to sneak up on them. In other words, don't start talking about Dak Prescott and Mahomes and McCaffrey, and talking about he's the real deal and so forth. And so that's what, you know, I know what I'm talking about, because I have some preacher friends. We talk about everything. And I got one preacher friend. He loves talking talking about football more than anything, almost, besides the second coming of Christ. No, you start the conversation right from Jump Street with your need. You don't try to slow walk them down. You don't try to sneak up on them. You do like the general. You do like the leper. And you deal with that first. You ask what's for the $50 you need or the $100 you need to pay a bill. You do that first. You just say, do like this. And I've done this before. Hey, pastor, listen, friend, brother, before we get to talking and fellowshipping like we normally do, I have a need. Amen, somebody. Okay. That way they will never feel like you're trying to sneak up on them, and your fellowship is false. You're just trying to get some money. You're trying to get some help. Do like the general. Do like the leper, and just don't mess around and ask for what you need. And I'm sure the Lord would certainly want us to do the same, because he already knows what you need. You don't need to try to butter him up. Lord, you're the great God and the wonderful. And this, Lord, I just give you the praise and all of that. You don't need to butter him all up. He knows what you need. He knows why you're coming to pray to him. So just go ahead and ask first and then say thank you. As we move on, and Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Don't you love it when you ask for help and people say, okay, I'll solve that problem for you right now? Well, Jesus is like that. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. It's just wonderful to run across regular people who have such insight and such discernment and such faith. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, under my authority, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. A Greek word which means to wonder at or express admiration for, to be taken aback, to be shocked, to be surprised, pleasantly surprised, and said to them, that's of course in his human way. Someone said a long time ago, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? He was not shocked. As God, he knew the man. He knew the man. He knew what the man was going to do. He knew the man had that kind of faith. But humanly, for the crowd's sake, he said, the Bible says he marveled and said to them that followed. See, he wanted everybody to see this. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Boy, what a statement to all of the Israelites. And Jesus was big on shocking the daylights out of people, saying things to them. It was not shocking to him, but it was shocking to them. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said, right there, many people don't realize, but that right there, Jesus began to open up the door of salvation for the Gentiles, which he had in his heart all along. And Jesus said unto, but first things first, I have to speak to my chosen people first and share the gospel with them. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. Remember now, the Bible says to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. God does things in an orderly fashion. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. In other words, before the messengers got back or before the general got back, the servant was already healed. He was up serving. This general understood the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, but we know that you are strong and mighty. Thank you, Lord, for this, the story of the gentle Gentile general, as we call him, because, Lord, it reminds us of the power that you have, the authority that you have over everything in the world. And we thank you for that, and Lord, have it to increase our faith and help us, Lord, give us the kind of faith this old Gentile general had, and have mercy and grace upon us as believers, and forgive us of our sins of faithlessness and not even being faithful. And we pray that you would fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit and fill us with your faith, and help us to believe like this man. And Lord, we know that there's nothing too hard for you. Nothing is impossible for you. And so, Lord, help us to go out and do that which people think is impossible. Help us to do what the missionary of old said, expect great things, attempt great things for you, and expect great things from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will continue to draw hundreds from around the world, and even thousands and millions. And we pray that you would miraculously cause over 3 million people to hear the gospel from this pulpit and to be saved, born again. And Lord, I will look forward to the millions of years in heaven meeting each and every one. And I thank you for doing it in advance. And Holy Father God, because I know you have the power, and I know it is your will, and I pray that even Christians who are acting like they're half dead, you would wake them up through the preaching of your holy gospel. And I've been amazed that just by preaching your gospel, not preaching practical things for Christians, but preaching the gospel has a way of reviving even Christians. I never knew that. I never thought that would happen, but I've experienced it over the past 10 years, as you know. We don't even give an invitation for people to rededicate their lives. But Lord, thousands have done so at the preaching of the gospel around the world. And so Lord, have millions to do that. And revive us all again. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways. Save that soul that's near as hell. Glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we approach Dr. Billy Graham's birthday celebration, a man who donned the gospel pulpit all around the world by the grace of God, for many years, preaching to millions and millions, and seeing many come to know Christ as Savior. As we come upon his birthday celebration, I want to share something from the great evangelist whom God made great, and probably the last great evangelist America will ever see. Not only an evangelist, but a prophet. In a few minutes, I'll be preaching one of his prophetic messages. It was not really designed as a gospel message, but of course an evangelist always preaches the gospel. He incorporates the gospel in the message, even if he is preaching a prophetic message dealing with sin. And so I want to say something from Billy Graham regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what he was about. by the grace of God. Billy Graham said, the object of Christian faith is Christ. That may sound pretty regular to you, but that's rather profound. Faith means more than an intellectual assent to the claims of Christ. You are not called upon to believe something that is not credible, but to believe in the fact of history that in reality transcends all history. End of quote. And now to the message, ladies and gentlemen. When Jesus tells the Roman centurion, the Gentile general, I will come and heal him. This gentle Gentile general has what many of us would consider to be a rather shocking reaction. His immediate response is, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Here is Jesus, the great physician, a proven healer and miracle worker, offering to come to this man's house to heal the servant that he is obviously very concerned about. Yet the centurion says, I am not worthy that you would come under my roof. Why would this centurion initially reject in a kind way, in a respectful way, in a humble way, Jesus is offered to do what he desired? The centurion explains himself further by saying, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I have officials over me, and I have soldiers under me. I understand authority. And I recognize by faith your authority over not only me, but everything. And then he goes on to say, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So, Lord, I understand that you do not have to come to my house. You can just say the word, because you have the authority over me, my household, my servant, and everything in the world. Some of your chosen people may not see it, but I can see it. The centurion was a man in authority over others, but also under the authority of others. In the chain of command, he had superiors and inferiors. That's one of the good things about the military. It will help you to understand authority. Do all of the generals believe and agree with everything President Trump tells them? No. There are some generals right now who don't believe soldiers should be down on the southern border. But they understand authority, whether they like it or not. They must do it. As one of the benefits of being a military man, I believe that most young men need to go into the military. to understand, to learn how to understand the principle of authority. And that's what's wrong with our country today, by the way. People who don't understand authority, young people, and that's why so many young people are getting shot and killed. They have no clue about the principle of authority. And those police officers want to go home to their beautiful wives and their beautiful children. And you make one false move, that's going to be a problem. You can like that or lump it, it makes no difference. We have a serious crisis in America of people who don't understand authority. You have wives who don't understand authority, and worse than that, you have husbands who don't understand their authority over their wives and over their children. Parents who don't understand authority. Children running buck wild, controlling the parents. And this is closely connected to faith, by the way. It was his understanding of authority, of course, by God's grace as well. He had this faith in this man named Jesus. This is not foreign to us. How many of you have worked for a company and you walked into the room, you didn't know anybody, but you can just tell who was in authority? How many teams have you played on? And no one named somebody as the leader of the team. In fact, you might have two captains of the team that were named by the coach to be captains of the team, co-captains. But there's somebody else who's really the captain of the team. He's the one who has authority. He is a Ray Lewis kind of a fellow. And so forth. And so this is not foreign to us. This gentle Gentile general, he usually had 100 soldiers in his command or under his command, but depending on time and circumstance, he would command up to 800. Some say more, some say less. As a centurion, he also had the authority to discipline Roman citizens with a vine staff, as citizens were protected from other forms of flogging by the law. The centurion recognizes the mantle of authority on Jesus Christ as well, and he recognizes that Jesus' authority is much greater than his own, and even greater than his superiors. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe true leaders can be made. If they are made, they have to be made by God. But true leaders are born. They're born with that certain thing. And Jesus had that certain thing. Just as the centurion could tell a man to go or come or do this or do that, the centurion knew that Jesus could do the same. He understood authority. The centurion likely also felt that it would have been inappropriate for Jesus to come to his house to do a favor for him, as he would not have expected one of his superiors to come to his house to do something for him at his own request. But Jesus was willing to do it because Jesus was humble like that, making him the greatest leader of all time. Not only humble, but meek. So the centurion's solution was simple. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I have faith in your authority. It would seem that the centurion made things more difficult for Jesus. If you're looking at it from a human perspective, usually when we are making a request from someone who is in a position of greater authority, we try to make it as easy for them to help us as we possibly can. And because this centurion understood authority, in his mind, that's what he was doing. But certainly some standing around probably were thinking, oh, he's putting Jesus to the test. The centurion understanding and knowing they have the authority figure, they have the prerogative to say no. Let me do it the way I said. But this centurion, while expressing his humility before Jesus, inadvertently places constraints on how Jesus can work this miracle, which simultaneously reveals the depth of his own faith. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, it would seem that everything about this man would prevent him from coming to Jesus. He was a professional soldier. No doubt had a professional bearing. And Jesus was a man of peace. He was a Gentile and Jesus was a Jew. But this soldier had one thing working for him. He was a man of great faith. This centurion understood that Jesus, like himself, had authority. But Jesus' authority was greater. And he recognized that. He didn't waste any time. He didn't mess around. He knew. All Christ had to do was speak the word, and the disease would obey him the way a soldier obeyed his captain or his general. Just as the centurion recognized that the disease afflicting his servant was under the authority of Jesus Christ, we must recognize, beloved, and act as though every circumstance in our lives, every circumstance, every situation, everybody in our lives is also under the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. We must approach Christ just as humbly, yet with as much faith and confidence as this centurion. And by the way, may I say, and piggyback on what Jesus said, he said he had not seen this kind of faith, no, not in Israel. He was talking about his chosen people. Rarely have we seen this kind of faith since this gentle Gentile general. Some of us have never seen it. And some of us don't have that kind of faith to this day. And we're on the other side of the cross. We have millions, sad to say, of Christians who are fretting and worried, act like they don't even have a Savior, trying to do everything themselves, taking all kinds of pills, drinking all kinds of liquor, and killing themselves. They don't have the faith of this centurion. Many in the church are that way. They don't trust in Jesus. They trust in Ambien or whatever that pill is that people talk about all the time. I've never had any. But it's supposed to just kind of knock you out, make you forget things temporarily. Ambien or something like that. It's very popular today. People are drugging out, drunking out, trying to escape their pain, their worries, their fears, because they have no faith in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Many preachers are this way. Pastors' wives are this way. Because many Christians do not obey Christ on the front end, they get worry and fretting and fear and anxiety on the back end, always. We must approach Christ just as humbly, yet with as much faith and confidence as this centurion, if we want Christ to act on our behalf in a similar fashion in every area of life. B.B. McKinney said, "Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. Your earnest plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer you yet. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God." These are not words of the poem writer. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Have faith in God. And I want you to notice that command. It's not a suggestion. Jesus did not deal in suggestions. This is a command. Therefore, it is a choice that each and every one of us can make. To have faith in God or not to have faith in God about whatever is going on in our lives. Based upon the facts that this Gentile general had at hand, he chose to have faith in Jesus Christ. And you can do the same. And you can, once you trust Christ as Savior, you can live your life by choosing to have faith in God. And I assure you, my beloved, you will live an amazing life, a marvelous life. It won't be easy, but it will be something special. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We can say with your servant Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good for us to be here, Lord. It is good for us to be here. We thank you for the power of your holy word, the power of prayer, and the power of faith. And Holy Father God, help us, give us the kind of faith that this man displayed. And help us to walk in that faith. And help us to do what you said, Lord Jesus, have faith in God. And forgive us of our sins of a lack of faith, which produces faith for being unfaithful. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of that sin as well. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and faith based upon your holy word, and revive us again. And Lord, help us to do the great things that you want us to do before we leave this earth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Save that soul that is near as hell right now. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us today, you have just heard another wonderful nonfiction story about the power of Jesus Christ. That's the thing that God has led me to do, to not only preach the gospel, but to preach about the acts of Jesus Christ, to preach through the gospels. To preach the gospel from the gospels in context, so that you will know more about the man Jesus Christ, the man that I will ask you to believe in and trust in right now to save your soul from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell. And to do that, first, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. We all have, every last one of us. We try to divide ourselves up in our various countries, white against black, black against white, red, yellow. But we're all in the same boat, the sin boat. And we all have broken God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We die physically. I'm going to die one day. You see the gray hairs? I didn't have these 30 years ago. You see the rotundity? I didn't have that. I was a mean, lean fighting machine back in my early 20s, all the way through till 30-something. I'm getting older. And I will die, and I will die like everybody else because of sin. And our bodies are delivered to the funeral home and then dropped into the ground. But our soul will live on forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. It will be hell if we do not trust Christ as Savior in while we're living on the earth. This is what Jesus Christ preached. Yes, the loving, caring, healing Jesus Christ preached that. If you do not trust him as Savior, you will go to hell. No, you cannot trust Buddha and go to heaven. You cannot trust Hare Krishna and go to heaven. You cannot trust Muhammad or anybody else and go to heaven. You must go through Christ. So accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never been born again through believing in Christ, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place of weeping, as it is in this passage, and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of eternal fire and burning. Hell is a place of the most painful memories. And nothing can shake you and rattle you like memories. Memories. Bad memories, remembering every time you did not listen to your mother to go to church and go to the revival, trust Christ as Savior. While she was on her dying bed, she was praying for you to get saved, begging you to trust Christ as Savior. And you refuse, wanting to go on in your sin. You will remember that in hell. Every time somebody knocked on your door to witness to you and to invite you to church, you looked out the window and you slammed the door and you locked the door and didn't answer, told your children to lie for you. You will remember, because God sent that witness by. hell is a sad place and hell is a bad place, and so therefore hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. That's my job, to deliver the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. The motto of the Billy Graham Association is always good news. But they will also tell you about the bad news, because you will not appreciate the good news. The bad news is hell. You will go to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. We all know this is true. Thousands are on death row around the world right now because of crimes they committed. Killing other people. If we have the authority from God to kill, to take somebody out because they murdered 8 people like one man did, to end their lives because of the crimes and the breaking of commandments that God had set in order, just snuff them out. They have to go from our society. Well, then, don't think it strange that there is a hell somewhere. And by the way, God did not create hell for us. Jesus said he created hell for the devil and his angels. But unfortunately and sadly, if we act like the devil and look like the devil, like some people do, and mean like the devil and murderous like the devil and a thief like the devil, then we're going to hell with the devil. There's no other place for you to go. So that's bad news, but here's the good news from the same Jesus. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. I got saved outside of the church, and in spite of growing up in church with one dad, one parent as my dad a preacher, my mother a preacher as well. I was raised in the Baptist church and in the Pentecostal church, and was lost and on my way to hell very fast. But I had praying parents and praying grandparents. And God arrested my heart one day. A young man came to my dorm room and while I was in the military, in the Air Force, and showed me the Romans Road, what I'm showing you right now, some parts of it. The Romans Road of Salvation, which I'm getting ready to show you the verses that I shall never forget. I've never forgotten them. I remember that night yesterday, December the 19th, 1979. I believed on Christ, and my life has not been the same since. God put me on the most exciting journey that I could not have created in a million years. And he'll do the same for you. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in religion. Not in a preacher. Not in a man that you can see. I'm talking about believing in the man Christ Jesus. Him only. And understand that, as John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. And so therefore, believe on him. Believe that in your heart that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, as the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, was buried and rose on the third day, and is now sitting at the right hand of God with hundreds of witnesses seeing him alive on earth before he went straight up to heaven. And he's coming back. That is the gospel, dear friend. That's the good news. The end of the story is beautiful for those who trust in Christ. And I urge you to trust in Christ as your Savior right now. Don't wait. Today is the day of your salvation. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask Him to save your soul. These are the verses that I shall never forget, found in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible reads in the Old King James Version that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. One of the problems that I had growing up in both the Baptist church and the Pentecostal church, I heard the word saved, but nobody told me what I was getting saved from. Saved from what? What are you talking about? Saved from hell. Saved from the power of sin in your life, and saved from the punishment of sin, and that is dying and going to hell, and also saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from hell and saved to heaven is a beautiful thing. Trust Christ as your Savior today, and pray and ask the Lord to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer as Michael Lewis led me that night some 40 years ago. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. It just takes simple faith. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments many times. I have lied before you. I've coveted and lusted after people and things before you. I have stolen things before you. I have dishonored and disrespected my parents before you. I have taken your holy name in vain before you. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrificial Lamb of God who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again, and who has taken away all of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and truly save my soul, as I now believe in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving my soul from hell. And thank you for saving my soul to heaven by your grace, your love, and your mercy. Now, Lord, I don't understand it all right now, but I believe it all by faith, similar to the general. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past, and to turn from all of my evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart, and here's where the general's faith comes in, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his authority to save your soul, because God is the one who gave that general that kind of faith. God is the one who has nudged your heart and given you that kind of faith, that Jesus has the authority to save your soul and to change your life. We can't explain it, but we know it's being done and has been done for millions, yea, billions. And so, dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day allow me to say to you, and you prayed that prayer, and you meant it from your heart in faith. Allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have done that, it's a done deal. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. You can be like the general and just consider it done. Consider it done. And no matter how you might feel or what others might say, if you truly believed on Christ, consider your salvation from hell and to heaven done. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please let us know by emailing me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other email accounts, wherever you might be in the world. We have over 1,000 sites spread out across every country of the world and every major city. And so some of you are watching on those sites. Wherever you are, contact us with whatever contact information is on the page. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you get started in your newfound faith in Christ. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.